Okay, it is time for this week's sponsor interview now with Scott Kufer of Nucleus Security and Jared Semrau of Mandiant. Nucleus aggregates vulnerability information in your environment, ingesting vulnerability scan data from a bunch of different products and normalizing it. And now you'll be able to cross-check that information against Mandiant's data on what is being actively exploited out there. Here's Scott Kufer to kick off the interview.
I mean, we've come on here many a time and pitched how we are a, you know, the working man's tool, and we do all of these things around routing and automation and basically analysis and the analyst workflow. And we were thinking, well, man, it would be really great to be able to start adding that additional context that we are missing right now, right? We have basically two of the three legs of the stool that we think really factor into a really robust kind of proactive vulnerability management program. We've got all the business context and the asset management and the org-based vulnerability management kind of information. We've got the vulnerability context, but we do not have the threat context that we can use to say, well, let's actually start layering all of this together to build a really great business context for what we should prioritize. And then like just start kind of pushing that through our existing automation, our existing routing, existing tracking. And then that could actually start to turn Nucleus into a more robust kind of automation engine for proactive decision-making in the analysis process.
Yes, I'm guessing this is about adding that missing column, right? You got CVSS, but you haven't necessarily had a column telling you how many people are actually out there using this bug at the moment. I'm guessing that's what this is really about.
Exactly. It's about providing that additional context that really will let users decide, especially organizations as a whole. They can make the decision on how they want to prioritize and how they want to think about threat intelligence in the context of their vulnerability management programs.
Now, people in the threat intelligence world love to speak, and it's, you know, I barely even know if this is a real word, but they love to speak about operationalizing threat intelligence, right? And so Jared Semrau is with us as well. He's from Mandiant. Jared, I'm guessing, you know, from the Mandiant side, that's really what this is about, is a way to operationalize some of the intelligence that you're collecting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from our perspective, I've talked to many organizations, and while it would be great to sit here and say that, you know, every organization has the resources they need to address every vulnerability, that's just not the reality of the world, you know, that we're living in. So what we're trying to do is exactly what you said, is we're trying to fill in the gap on the threat side of the equation. You know, as an organization, we are lucky enough to be involved in just about every single large breach that matters out there. You know, we are helping many customers understand the threats to their environments. We have managed defense capabilities. We're managing their SOCs for them. So we're seeing what's going on in the real world. And that's kind of a unique thing that we're trying to help provide here in this partnership, is unlike a lot of organizations that can just speak to how bad something could be, we're providing that visibility into what is happening. And not just whether or not a vulnerability is being exploited, but really even pointing it back to by who and for what.
Yeah. Being exploited to drop a crypto miner, it's like, okay, we'll fix that one. But being exploited to ransomware entire organizations, yeah, that's you know, so I'm guessing do you have some sort of, you know, impact score per bug? Or I guess it's all context dependent, isn't it?
We have a couple different ways that we convey that to our customers. We do use CVSS for our customers that insist on using that. I think it's a pretty limited rating myself, but some people live and die by that. But we also have other ones that really capture specifically just the threat. We have other ones that capture just the impact. So we provide a couple different ways for customers to leverage that data in the way they feel comfortable. But we're trying to capture all those things and help just kind of get to the ground truth of what's the real impact and what's the real threat that these vulnerabilities are going to pose to you.
All right. So, Scott, how have you implemented this? I mean, is it the case that Mandiant identifies that some crew is burning down, the internet with some particular bug, and that, that information gets into people's Nucleus consoles somehow, and then it, it shits out a priority list? Like, tell us what the, what this looks like when it's operationalized.
Sure. Mandiant was nice enough to kind of work with us on kind of coming to an optimal solution. Because if you look at kind of the other ways in the past that things have been specifically vulnerability intelligence has been operationalized, you know, you might drop it into like a Splunk dashboard or something like that, and you don't get a ton of extra context. But what we've essentially done is almost have like a Mandiant light kind of overlaid directly into the platform. So our idea wasn't to just boil everything down to a score. It was to say, okay, well, you have this vulnerability that was found by this scanning tool. It exists on this asset with all this business context. And here are 27 additional threat intelligence fields that relate to that vulnerability that you can then basically pick and choose which fields you want to use to prioritize vulnerabilities a certain way, automatically set SLAs based on that, and then try to start figuring out what actually is the stuff that's going to burn your house down. And
so, but how do you surface the critical stuff? Like, is that a part that you've worked on? I mean, it's great to have the context there when you're in the console, you're looking at a particular bug, but you know, there's going to be a lot of information in those consoles. How do you actually surface the stuff that you need to care about most? Is there some sort of, you know, rules engine where some field exceeds this, then, you know, sound klaxons, or, you know, how does it work?
Exactly. Yeah, it's exactly as you just mentioned, right? So we have a full automation framework that was really designed to kind of automate all these different workflows. And so we basically just added all this additional context and fields that you can now use to make decisions as an organization, because every organization wants to do things a little bit differently. As Jared mentioned, some folks like to still use CVSS version 2, and that's what they want to stick to without any sort of additional context or anything there. And, you know, he said it better than I did in terms of the limitations there, but what we want to enable is users to make decisions on their own and then start automating it at scale, right? Because it's great to have all this data, as you said, but now it's just more data. And what we want you to be able to do is say, okay, well, we know that needles in the haystack meet this specific criteria contextualized to us and what we care about, what our auditors care about, or whoever. And so we want to use these five things as the basis for drop everything and fix those. There's critical, and then there's like extra critical or ultra critical. I've heard it named many different ways.
You know, ultra critical, you know, it's like when you're running out of superlatives, right?
That's right. Hypercritical.
So Jared, I want to ask you, like, how timely is this information usually, right? Because one of the issues, and it's not limited to threat intelligence about vulnerabilities, one of the issues with threat intelligence writ large can be the, the delays in the loop, right? When something happens, by the time it gets, you know, to an incident or is detected or whatever and gets turned around as threat intelligence and then operationalized, you know, the attackers have moved on to a different set of tools or whatever. So, you know, how timely and relevant is this information going to be by the time it gets into someone's vuln management console?
Now, the timeliness is obviously going to depend in different circumstances, but our goal is always to get the data to our customers as fast as possible. We have tons of automation set up in which it's going to be scraping and pushing data within real time. So usually within 24 hours when we get it. But there's other parts of the process that could take a little bit longer. You know, we have additional analysis that our analysts come in to provide additional context. That can be anywhere from a day or 2 days, 3 days. But when it comes to some of our larger breach investigations that we as an organization do, you know, sometimes that data is going to come in a week after that incident happened or a month down the road. The point is, when we get it and get it into a state that we can share, we're going to share it as fast as possible. Unfortunately, you know, we may not be there for the first person who gets hit, but our goal is hopefully there to get it before the second or third person gets hit and before those tactics change.
Yeah, well, attackers maybe don't move quite that fast, right? So I think there is, you know, and I've certainly been someone who's, you know, criticized certain elements of threat intelligence on the timeliness side. But the fact is, yeah, I mean, if you're unpicking C2 and, you know, various other IOCs that have been used recently, you know, chances are that's still useful information. If a group of attackers is having success with a bug chain, it's not like they're just going to, you know, move on to another one for no reason.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what we typically see is you'll see that start in those limited targeted attacks. And then over time, they're going to keep branching that out until either it gets patched or it just gets to the point where it just doesn't offer the same value as another tool they have. I mean, they're not going to burn a 0 day or just move on to another one for no reason. You know, they've got to have value and make sure they, you know, all that development resource gets counted for something.
Now, I mean, we are here talking about how Nucleus is going to use this information, but I'm curious, where else does this type of data tend to wind up? How are organizations actually operationalizing this data that you produce?
From our perspective, I mean, it really depends. We mentioned earlier that, you know, there's a lot of Splunk dashboards that this lives in. We have companies that are literally just spending threat intelligence analysts that are manually combing through this. Basically, anywhere that there is a system, in most cases connected to an API that you can pull this data into, the data probably lives. It just really depends on each individual's organization, what they use. But admittedly, some of those platforms work better than others, which is why we're really excited about the Nucleus partnership, because this is a platform we think can help kind of make better use of it than some of the other solutions we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a partnership with some of the larger scanning firms, right? Because these companies, you look at their revenue, it's like $500 million, some of them, right? So they're the big players and they're supposed to be doing this stuff. Is that something you do with them?
We've had partnerships over the years, and some of those relationships have come and gone. It's just hard to keep traction with them. They see, you know, a lot of different people out there trying to play along with all the other different companies, but really what we want is somebody who sees us as a trusted partner and just not another part of the noise that they're adding to their...
Yeah, so you're just totally confirming my vibe, which is that these guys are so complacent. And I'm working with another company that's doing something a little bit relevant to vuln management. They've had a few ideas there that are spectacular. And you think, why on earth aren't the big scanning companies doing it? And there's a whole bunch of stuff where you can ask yourself, why aren't they doing it? It seems like they've got their sort of protected revenue by being the incumbents, and they're not really interested in trying to innovate. I mean, I'm just being frank, right?
So, I mean, Patrick, from our perspective, I mean, there's a reason that Nucleus exists, right? I mean, this whole post-scan market where it's like, what do you actually do with the data, really only exists because the scanning tools are unable to actually do that on their own. And there's so many different sets of data that it really didn't matter if the scanners did try to do that, right? I mean, you look at the Tenables and the Rapid Sevens, right? Rapid Seven's been building their Insight platform for years to try to kind of do some routing and SLA management and things like that. But, you know, when you're starting to look at a holistic solution where how do we get a handle across our enterprise, whether that's AppSec, vulnerability management, you know, SCA tools, cloud, you know, there's all these new CSPM tools out there that went from 0 to 6 billion in 18 months and things like that. It's how do you actually keep up with managing all of that data? And that's where I think, you know, our sweet spot is, right? It's we take all that data, we organize it for you, and then we allow you to do something with it that at scale. And that's something that the scanners are always going to have a really hard time doing.
I mean, this is kind of what I'm getting at. I think it's kind of nuts that they have just continued to focus on protecting their scanning revenue as opposed to trying to create good management software, which is, you know, probably where the money's going to be in the future. Anyway, that is all we have time for. Scott Kuford, Jared Semrau, thank you so much for joining me on the show to walk through the tie-up between Mandiant and Mandiant Google, I think it's going to be, and Nucleus. Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat. Always a pleasure.
That was Scott Kuford and Jared Semrau there. Big thanks to them for that. And you can find Nucleus Security at nucleussec.com. And that is it for this week's show. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back next week with more security news and analysis. But until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.